Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Still rocking and rolling here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant and Danny. It's the youngest in charge, and L. Willingham taking up to 6:45. Coming up in about 50 minutes, our pal Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State Buckeye, former Dallas Cowboy linebacker, going to join us to preview Oregon and Ohio State. That one's set to kick off at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We opened up the show giving you the news that the college football playoff matchup today that was scheduled for tonight between Notre Dame and Georgia postponed due to the attack, the vehicular attack that happened in New Orleans last night. 10 folks run over and killed by, I'm still not sure whether to dub it domestic terrorism or not, but there was a mass casualty last night in New Orleans, and as a result of that, the college football playoff game that was scheduled to take place at the Superdome being postponed until tomorrow. We'll keep you up to speed and give you more info on that as it becomes available to us. Right now, though, I want to go out to the guest hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites talking all things burgundy and gold, our pal Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end and current co-host of the Take Command podcast. You can also check out Logan on the Big 100 broadcast, roaming the sidelines during Commander games. Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm a little bummed out, obviously, about the news from New Orleans, but hopefully they get that resolved quickly. But other than that, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Good to hear, my friend. Yeah, and you know, I think college football, making the right decision, trying to put the safety of the people first, I'm all for that. But let's go back to Sunday here for a second, Logan. Obviously, big-time win. Jaden Daniels, not his best performance, but showing up big when it mattered the most. He kind of went into takeover mode in that second half, specifically in that fourth quarter, using his legs. As you continue to watch him week in and week out, you got to break down the tape. If you can pinpoint, I know it's hard to say just one thing, but if you can give us a couple, what's been the most impressive thing about this young man?
I mean, obviously, everyone's going to say his poise, and I think rightfully so. I think when you look at him in those big moments, end-of-game scenarios, winning time moments like Dan Quinn likes to call them, he's just stellar. I mean, he has that kind of aura about him that the moment's never too big, the opportunity's never too big. I think when you look at the last two games, you know, he throws an interception versus Philly. It looks like the game's going to be over. Philly gives him a little bit window, and it's not like, oh, my gosh, I threw a pick the last possession. It's like, my mind's completely clear. I'm going to go down and score a touchdown. Same thing with this one. They go three and out. There's a drop pass. Obviously, Atlanta misses the field goal. They win the toss. He goes down and scores. And so it's like he could have easily kind of been the GOAT in both of those situations. But the game works out. The defense stands up. And he just is laser focused and makes a play. And I think that's probably been the most impressive thing about him. But then in terms of like his season-long success, I think it's impossible not to look at how he prepares, his mastery of the game plan, his professionalism, all of those things kind of culminating, you know, with his natural ability, I think make him a truly special player. And he just seems to be getting better each and every week, which, again, contributes to kind of what we've been seeing, this kind of historic rookie season.
Yeah, it's been really cool to watch. And I just go back to this offseason when you heard the reports of the work that this dude was putting in during OTAs and mandatory minicamp to get the offense installed and to make it, you know, second nature for him. You know, I'll admit, Logan, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit when we first heard about it, because I'm thinking, well, what else are they supposed to say about the guy that's been built the future of the franchise? They're supposed to speak glowingly about him. But the thing that really impresses me, Logan, is that you can tell what type of work he puts in based on the way he's performing, man. The ability to check in and out of plays as a rookie is super impressive. We've seen him do it a number of times this year. You know, the ability to get them into the correct play, like for a young guy to be able to do that is stellar. His offensive coordinator deserves a ton of credit too, Logan. And I want to focus on Cliff Kingsbury here for a second. There was that narrative of the Cliff, so to speak. I never really bought into it. When you look at now the attrition that they've suffered at the wide receiver spot, his ability to week in and week out here, Logan, scheme open Jamison Crowder, scheme open Olamide Zaccheaus, scheme open Zach Ertz. What does it say about the job Cliff is doing, and how impressed have you been with their ability to kind of just, you know, keep things afloat as, you know, the deck has kind of been shuffled here offensively?
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent question. And one of the things that sticks out to me is obviously Cliff does a really good job, and Anthony Lynn and the whole staff does a good job kind of planning, you know, getting the right plays in, getting the right runs in, getting, you know, all of the situational football prepped and ready to go. And that shows up definitely when you're watching the film. But I think the one thing that Cliff does, you know, better than, you know, any other offensive coordinator that I've covered is he seems to understand kind of the roles of people within the offense. And I think that's something that is so unique to him and just how well he does it. Like, he understands what guys do well, and he understands how to get guys in positions to do those things well. I look at Jaden Daniels, and one of the things that he does exceptionally well is he throws quick game well. And so when that's a big part of the game plan, this offense does well. And you look at the guys he's got doing it, you know, OZ and Jamison on choices and slants and little sit routes, and obviously they're tremendous after the catch making plays. He's not calling the same offense, you know, when Noah Brown's in there. It's some deeper digs, you got the comebacks, there's more shots down the field because you've got a different athlete out there. And right. I think that understanding of kind of the soft elements, you know, the emotional elements, the people elements of football, I think I really have been impressed with Cliff and this whole offensive staff with how they've managed that stuff. You know, getting like, hey, man, we can't run this run because, you know, this player's out, but we can run this because this guy's really excellent at that, and we want to run it to this guy as opposed to away from it. And I think that's been something that I, you know, as a coach, you know, in my spare time, I really want to kind of make sure that I embrace and embody, because it's something that's so overlooked. You know, everyone's like, let me show you how smart I am with the pen every single week. But Cliff isn't always doing that. He's kind of saying, what is the best thing for my team, my offense, and my guys? And I think that's something that I really have been incredibly impressed with.
This is why you're about to take high school football by storm, big fella. Your ability to be able to learn still, with all the experience you've had in this league, man, I think it just speaks to who you are as a dude, and I love to hear you say that. I'm going to steal a phrase from Nikki Javala of the Washington Post, because I'm reading their headline, and it really, you know, describes this dude in a nutshell and describes this place in the change. Careers normally die in Washington. Zach Ertz's career has been reborn here in our nation's capital. His usage, Logan, in the red zone over the past month or so really has stood out to me. Why has he been able to thrive in that area? What savvy veteran stuff is he doing to make himself a friendly target for Jaden? And why has their rapport continued to grow here as the season gets later?
Well, I think, you know, obviously Zach is kind of a borderline Hall of Fame player. You know, when you look at his numbers compared to other Hall of Famers, like, they're right in line with, you know, Jason Witten, I think, is another great comp for him. And I think one of the things that I love when I watch Zach Ertz play, and I've always loved about him, is he's not necessarily got the, you know, the 4.4 speed that like a Darren Waller does, or, you know, George Kittle, like from a couple of years ago. He's not this like crazy athlete, but he really, really has a beautiful understanding of how to run routes and how to find space and how to be friendly to the quarterback. And that's something that's so hard to understand. But, you know, in certain coverages, it's like you're not trying to beat guys, you're trying to beat the spacing of the coverage. And when you watch Zach, he really has a very clear understanding of the angles he needs to come out of on his routes. He understands how to defeat guys with initial stems off the line of scrimmage, how to kind of use the stem later in the route to break leverages and beat guys that way. It really is, quite frankly, a masterclass in route running for like different body types. You know, obviously it doesn't look like Justin Jefferson running routes, but it for like tight ends, and it checks all the boxes. And I think that's something that's been really fun to watch. And I think the trust that he's been able to cultivate with Jaden Daniels is impressive. And that's something that he's, in talking with him, he's done everywhere he's been. He understands that relationship with the quarterback is so important. So there's the technical stuff that he's doing in the route. There's his understanding of coverage and spacing and how to defeat the coverages. And then there's his trust with the quarterback. And I think all of those things kind of compile together to make what he's doing not a surprise for people who are really watching the film, because he's just doing things at a high level from a technical standpoint.
Yeah, that definitely is something I noticed, man. His ability to use the head fakes kind of too to get defenders on his back has been really impressive. When he crosses your face, it's over. Like, he's so damn big. Like, the catch radius is there, and I think Jaden's built to trust to say, hey, if I put it in Zach's radius, he's going to do it. It actually looks a lot different in terms of what we saw in camp with Zach's usage. A lot of it was on the deep overs and things of that nature, but it feels like here in this last month or so, the red zone stuff has really been highlighted in Zach Ertz's game. We're joined right now by our guy Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, co-host of the Take a Man podcast, with our guy Craig Hoffman, who you can hear Monday through Friday, 4 to 7, here on the Team 980. Logan, I want to ask you about this run game for Washington. The traditional run game, in terms of just handing it off to the backs, it feels like it's hit a little bit of a lull here the past month or so. Obviously, against Atlanta, there were some runs that were able to hit. When you study the tape, what has been the difference here over the past month with the run game? And do you feel how I feel? I agreed with Cliff. It feels like guys aren't firing off and winning blocks at the rate that they were earlier this year, making it a little bit more difficult on the backs.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it for sure. But like with anything, there's, you know, it's multifactorial. And when you look at, you know, the teams they've been playing, the style of defense they've been playing, the health of the offensive line, the health of the running backs, it all kind of, you know, coincides with this lull. And I will say, you know, this group is a really fun group to watch. You know, Cosme and Biadasz and Alec Greddy are really just a just like football players on the interior. But they're not, you know, the Detroit offensive line. They're not the Philly offensive line. They need some, like, technical and, like, structural support from the offense. And I think as you've watched the season go on, and this is good offensive coordinator, and this is good run game design by Anthony Lynn, like, you kind of say, hey, we really are good at GT. We're really good at bounce. And you get a bunch of teams who are penetrating up the field, and those blocks become a little bit harder, and penetration kills those plays. They say, so what do we do to counteract the penetration? You see a little bit of trap. You see a little bit of Wham versus Tennessee. You see those same kind of variations versus Atlanta last night. And I like that there is a constant evolution to kind of find edges and advantages for these guys. And I think, you know, obviously in the Atlanta game, you know, B-Rob averages 4.6 yards a carry, and it ends up being much better than it probably feels because he's able to find some explosive kind of slashes in there, a couple runs over 10 yards. But I also think it's important to note, like, you know, Wiley's out, Lucas was out, and then you're on Trent Scott, who I think is a fine football player, but he's your fourth tackle for a reason, you know, and then he's out there, and then the backup center's in, Dieter, and, like, I don't care who you are. Those things are really hard to overcome. So I do think there is I like the technical evolution. I like the understanding of where the group is at, but I also think, like, they're not super healthy. And we've seen that over the course of the year. Like, I think back to the Pittsburgh game and the Philly game. Obviously, those are better defenses, but when the health of that group started to kind of wane, the production starts to wane and they're less effective. So hopefully they can get healthy. Hopefully the schematic elements that Anthony Lynn and Cliff are bringing to the offense continue to elevate them. And hopefully they can play fast versus some better matchups, you know, versus Dallas in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll get to the Cowboys in a second because they're another one of those teams. Diggy Zuwa is one of those penetrating, get-up-the-field defensive tackles that have caused some issues for Washington. But flipping over to Washington's defense, Logan, I've been texting you all year long about how my concerns about the run defense. You've calmed me down and walked me off the ledge. Then the same issues kind of rear their ugly head in that first half against Atlanta on Sunday Night Football. Bijan Robinson, a special back first and foremost, Logan. I don't think he gets the pub nationally that he probably should get. This is a top three or four back in the National Football League right now in terms of just athletic ability and the ability to do the special stuff that he does. He hurt Washington in a big way on Sunday. What adjustments did you see in that second half that Washington made, and how much did it help that the offense possessed the football for 14 minutes and 50 seconds in that third quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, we've talked about this a lot over the course of the year, and one of the things that sticks out to me is when the offense can possess the football, the defense plays better. You know, I think they do have a knack, especially you see it in the second half of this game, you see it in the second half of Philly, of finding ways when they have to of getting off the field. Yeah. And I think that's important. They find ways to stop the run. I think they made some corrections. Obviously, they moved some personnel around from the first half to the second half in the Atlanta game. You know, Deron Payne is playing end. Jerzon's playing defensive tackle. You know, John Allen's playing defensive tackle. Holmes, the other kind of big hulking defensive end. They got four kind of big bodies in there. They're playing a little bit more straight cover three or like run emphasis quarters where there's another guy in the box. You can tell at halftime they really talked to the defensive backs about coming up and setting hard edges on Drake London, who to me was maybe the difference in the first half and the second half. Was Drake London was really kind of devastating in his matchups at the second level on Jeremy Chinn and on defensive backs, and they just couldn't get to their run fits because he was such a good blocker. Yeah. And obviously that was a point of emphasis coming out of halftime, was just like, hey, we can't let him continue to be as effective in the run game. And it just gets a little bit tighter. And because the game flow is kind of swinging in Washington's direction, you know, because the offense is doing such a good job, you can tell there was a sense of urgency, maybe even a little bit of panic from the Atlanta offense. They couldn't run the ball as effectively and as consistently as they wanted. They just didn't give it as many opportunities. They didn't get as many opportunities. And it flips the tide. So, you know, in answer to your question, like, were there some technical things changed? Absolutely. Did guys play better in the second half? Also true. Did Atlanta kind of get away from it? That's also true. And all of those things kind of come together in a perfect storm to help, you know, Washington's defense do what they need to do and get off the field consistently. So I think that's part of it. I think it's understanding that this group is playing, the defense is playing really good football, but they're still not like a top shelf group from a talent standpoint. So they need some help from the offense. They need some help from the special teams. They need some kind of inconsistencies from the opponent offense. And you get that in the Philly game, you get that in this game, and you see the results when all those things kind of work together. And again, I think the group is becoming fun to watch. You're playing with great energy. And are they perfect? No, but are they a lot of fun to watch? Absolutely.
Logan, I'll let you go on this, my friend. Always awesome to catch up with you. Kind of a bigger picture question, looking ahead a little bit. I know it's scary to do that, but big fella, we're about to make the playoffs, baby. Depending on what happens, you know, Washington's either going to have to play Tampa or the LA Rams. When you look at both of those football teams and what they've been able to accomplish this year, who should Washington want to play?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I do think for whatever reason, LA has been a little bit more inconsistent this year. I think they've kind of struggled to, especially late in the year, find kind of a consistent level of explosiveness from their offense. I think Matthew Stafford, you know, when he's up, is you never want to play Matthew Stafford when he's at his best, because he, in my opinion, when he's playing well, has the ability to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. But he's been a little inconsistent. They aren't overly explosive at the receiver position. They've got, obviously, Puka Nacua is tremendous. He's so much fun to watch as a football player, the way he blocks, the way he runs routes, the way he catches the football, but he can't really beat you down the field. I think that is something that really is encouraging to me. I also think that the defense that they play in LA is very, very similar to what they play in Atlanta. There are some holes there. It's a very complicated, nuanced defense, and you can tell guys aren't always on the same page. So I think that matchup's really good. But in the same breath, you know, you play Tampa Bay, for example. They've got Baker Mayfield, who's been very good recently but can be inconsistent, turns the football over. And you get the Todd Bowles defense, who Jayden Daniels has already seen, and Todd Bowles isn't really going to change his approach for anybody. And so if you have a handle for the pressure, you have the answers to the test. So I think both of those matchups feel pretty good right now. I would just lean ever so slightly towards LA, but I think you know, people say, oh, should they rest their starters? People ask me that all the time, and I'm like, absolutely not, man. Let's win this football game. And I think Dan Quinn said the same thing, like, let's win this football team and get a better matchup for the playoffs and make a push at this thing.
I'm excited, my man. Looking forward to you and your work and continuing to listen to you and Craig, man. Appreciate you giving us some time. Happy New Year's.
Thanks, man. Happy New Year to you also.
That is Logan Paulson, one of the absolute best, talking all things burgundy and gold. We will take a quick timeout. Plenty more to get to. In about 40 minutes, Bobby Carpenter, a former Ohio State Buckeye and Dallas Cowboy linebacker, going to join us to preview Ohio State and Oregon. But when we come back, MGM National Harbor listener lines wide open, 1-800-636-1067. We'll ask you the question we just asked Logan Paulson. If Washington, depending on the results Sunday, they are either going to have to play the Tampa Bay Bucks or the LA Rams, who would you rather play? Your call's next on The Fan.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome to 2025. Happy New Year to you and yours out there. This is The Fan. We're also simulcasted on our sister station, The Team 980. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 645. Big thank you to Logan Paulson, who joined us in the last segment. If you missed any of my conversation with Logan, it's okay. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature. Go back to the top of the 3 o'clock hour to get the skinny on what the big fella's thinking about the Commanders and what they got ahead of them here as they get geared up for the postseason. It still feels crazy to say that. The Washington Commanders locked into a postseason spot, depending on the results Sunday in their game against Dallas and also across the rest of the National Football League. Depending on that, Washington could either play the LA Rams in the wild card round of the playoffs, or wouldn't this be the perfect NFL script? Or they could play or open up their postseason where they started their regular season on the road at Raymond James against the Tampa Bay Bucks. The question right now on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines, 1-800-636-1067. As a Commander fan, you all are, I challenge the intelligence of this fan base all the time, but you all know your stuff. I like to bust your chops a little bit. Who would you rather play? The LA Rams or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? 1-800-636-1067. We were just joined by Logan Paulson. Here's what he had to say about who Washington should be more inclined to want to play in the playoffs.
I do think, for whatever reason, LA has been a little bit more inconsistent this year. I think they've kind of struggled to, especially late in the year, find kind of a consistent level of explosiveness from their offense. I think Matthew Stafford, you know, when he's up, is you'd never want to play Matthew Stafford when he's at his best, because he, in my opinion, when he's playing well, has the ability to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. But he's been a little inconsistent. They aren't overly explosive at the receiver position. They've got, obviously, Puka Nacua is tremendous. He's so much fun to watch as a football player, the way he blocks, the way he runs routes, the way he catches the football, but he can't really beat you down the field. I think that is something that really is encouraging to me. I also think that the defense that they play in LA is very, very similar to what they play in Atlanta. There are some holes there. It's a very complicated, nuanced defense, and you can tell guys aren't always on the same page. So I think that matchup's really good. But in the same breath, you play Tampa Bay, for example. They've got Baker Mayfield, who's been very good recently, but can be inconsistent, turns the football over. And you get the Todd Bowles defense, who Jane Daniels has already seen. And Todd Bowles isn't really going to change his approach for anybody. And so if you have a handle for the pressure, you have the answers to the test. So I think both of those matchups feel pretty good. Right now I would just lean ever so slightly towards LA. But I think you know, people say, oh, should they rest their starters? People ask me that all the time. And I'm like, absolutely not, man. Let's win this football game. And I think Dan Quinn said the same thing. Like, let's win this football team and get a better matchup for the playoffs and make a push at this thing.
So that's what the big fella, Logan Paulson, had to say. He prefers the LA Rams. I'll be real with you. During the commercial break, I went back and forth on this. I don't know who I would rather play, but I will make the case for both teams. What Washington struggled with this year offensively when trying to run the football is those penetrating defensive tackles that get upfield. I think, despite Jared Verse playing the way that he's played this year, 4.5 sacks, a litany of pressures, he's really come on here. You know what I just realized by clicking Jared versus, oh no, okay, it's November 4th. I'm November 14th. I thought we had the same birthday. Anywho, the front of Tampa's is better to me than the front of the LA Rams. right? When you think about Kalijah Kancey and Vita Vea and Yaya Diaby and you know, Logan Hall and the guys that they've got, they got penetrating defensive tackles that can get upfield. The reason I would want to play Tampa is you've already seen this group this year. And one thing that we've noticed, we have two sample sizes here now. Think about Jayden Daniels in the first Giants matchup, Jayden Daniels in the second Giants matchup. You think about Jayden Daniels in the first Eagles matchup. And then the way that he played two Sundays ago, clearly when this young man gets the opportunity to see a defense twice, he makes them pay. So for that reason, I would want to see Tampa. Now, offensively, right, and when we talk about Washington's defense, both of these two teams are going to present major fits for Washington. I mean, major fits. Now, the Rams' offensive line, led by Steve Avila, Kevin Dotson, Rob Havenstein, Joe Noteboom off the bench. Like, they've got guys up front. It's a good offensive line. In Tampa, right, like, Tristan Wirfs, hell of a left tackle, one of the best in football. But outside of that, like, Grant Barton is a rookie that's been up and down this year. Cody Mock, a second-year guy that's been up and down this year. I don't know which offense I would fear most. I think both of these offenses provide a bevy of different problems. Bucky Irving's been on one. I mean, the second half of the season, from catching the ball out of the backfield to running it. Bucky Irving, he's ran for over 1,000 yards. I didn't even realize that. Like, Bucky Irving's having a hell of a year. And then as a receiver, you know, he's caught 45 balls. Like, they throw the football to this dude. He's a big-time weapon. And then on the perimeter, like, think about how Washington's going to have to defend both of these two teams. They're going to have to stack the box and live with their corners one-on-one on the perimeter. Who would you rather go up against, Puka Nacua and Kupp or Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan? I'm going to say Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan, but we'll let you all have it. 1-800-636-1067. Depending on how Sunday rolls in the season finale against Dallas and then the other games on tap, Washington could either play the Rams or the Bucks. Who should Washington be wanting to play? Todd is in Brandywine. What's up, Todd?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell? Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just like you where, you know, when I even first called, I said L.A., but while I was on hold, you know, I'm going back and forth. And I think Tampa, we might have a better chance to deal with just because of what you said, where we played them the first week, but we're a totally different team than week one. And, you know, adding to what you said, again, like, Jayden Daniels has shown the ability to be able to adjust his game and pick apart teams and defenses better, you know, the more exposure he has to them. But, you know, they're both real close teams. You know, the run game scares me on either side, whether it's Bucky Irving or Kyren Williams. Both of them can go off at any time.
Yeah.
But also I think that L.A. may actually present more of a challenge because their top two receivers, I think, are better than the Bucks' top two receivers. So, you know, we may just have to deal with Mike Evans and let him eat, but I think we would be able to handle Jalen McMillan or Sterling Shepard pretty easily. I'm slightly leaning towards Tampa right now.
Todd, it's going to be something we go back and forth on over the next couple of weeks, man. I appreciate your call. Happy New Year's to you and yours. Yeah, like Todd says, everything that was on the top of my mind. First of all, both of these offenses, based on the way Washington's playing defensively, are going to present major problems for you. I don't know how familiar America is with Bucky Irving, but he's rushed for over 1,000 yards this year. I don't know how familiar America is with Kyren Williams. He's third in the National Football League in rushing yards, and he's tied for second in touchdowns. So both of those dudes present serious challenges. I'll say this about the last couple of weeks for these teams. The offense for the LA Rams over the last month, or 3 weeks rather, 13 points this past Saturday against Arizona. 19 points 2 weeks ago on the road against the Jets, and then just 12 points on a Thursday night game 3 weeks ago against San Fran. You can make the argument that LA is taking a wee bit of a step back offensively. But one thing you'll notice about the Rams over the past month or so, and maybe this is just, it's getting cold outside. I might have to cover. I can't believe I just did that on there. That's embarrassing. I mean, I'm 27. the carries for Kyren Williams, 23 against the Jets, 29 against San Francisco, 29 against Buffalo. Like, he is the bell cow of this offense. He's the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. They're going to lean into him. And I worry about Washington's ability to stop the run. We will discuss what is your bigger concern. I think we'll do it in the 4 o'clock hour. What's your bigger concern getting geared up for the playoffs? Run defense or the lack of guys on the perimeter for Washington. But that's for a later conversation. I say all that to say this. Both Kyren Williams and Bucky Irvin, along with Rashad White, are backs that are going to make you have to stack the box. They've proven time and time again this year they cannot consistently stop the run with a light box. They're going to have to compromise their corners. I think the question comes down to this. Who do you feel better playing man-to-man coverage against? Puka and Cooper Kupp or Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Who would you rather Washington play in the postseason, the L.A. Rams or the Tampa Bay Bucks? Ronald is in Green Belt. What's going on, Ronald?
Hey, Linnell. How's it going?
I'm good, brother. Happy New Year.
You know, these teams, both of these teams are so similar.
Yes.
Because they can probably beat you so many ways on offense that you can't come into the game saying, okay, let's shut this down. And then let's shut that down because you don't know what – they put you in a confusing situation. Both of these teams can do that on offense. Because they have reliable receivers in a solid running game. So it's kind of a coin toss for me between both teams because it's so similar with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I think they play better at home, so maybe the Rams. Thanks.
Ronald, I appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. If you're on the line, stay there. Continue to load up your calls. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls. Washington, get geared up for the postseason. They clinched their spot after Sunday night's win against Atlanta. When we get to the playoffs, though, who's the more favorable matchup, the Tampa Bay Bucks or the LA Rams? Your calls next. Grant Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasted on our sister station, the Team 980. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 6:45 tonight. Coming up a little bit later on the Team 980, Wizards basketball on tap tonight. They're at home on New Year's Day taking on the Chicago Bulls. I was looking at Bulls Twitter earlier today. They were practicing at the Mecca to get ready for the Wizards. They're out at Howard University, so shout out to the Bison house in Chicago as they get geared up for the big-time matchup tonight against the Wizards. Speaking of the Wizards, we get a I wouldn't call it a Wizards and Bulls preview, but I got the chance to catch up with Josh Robbins of The Athletic to ask him about all the hot-button rumors right now surrounding the Washington Wizards, including the trade status of Kyle Kuzma. So make sure you stick around for that. Coming up in 12 minutes, our guy Bobby Carpenter is going to join the program, former Buckeye linebacker, former Dallas Cowboy. He'll help us preview Ohio State and Oregon in the college football playoff. Speaking of the college football playoff, if you're just joining the program, the quarterfinal game that was supposed to be on tap tonight between Notre Dame and Georgia has been postponed until tomorrow because of the terrorist attack that happened in New Orleans last night. As more information becomes available on that, we'll keep you up to speed. But just continuing to, you know, send out our thoughts and prayers to those impacted by the tragic situation last night in New Orleans. Back to the football, though. MGM National Harbor Lister lines wide open. 1-800-636-1067. 106.7. Washington, depending on how Sunday goes, are either going to be faced with the Rams in Wild Card Weekend, or they're going to have to take on the Tampa Bay Bucks during Wild Card Weekend. Who is the preferred matchup for you? 1-800-636-1067. I'm going to officially give my answer. I think either one of these teams, it's a tough draw. It just is. I'm going to go with Tampa because Jaden's already seen this defense. I think that's going to be the difference. Which defense can you score more points against? The Rams or the Bucks? Because we know our defense ain't going to stop either of them. So I'm looking at who can you score the most points against. And because you've already seen Tampa, I think that's the group you should be licking your chops for. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Paulie, calling from Norfolk. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hail to the W, man. You know what I mean? What's going on, Linnell?
What's going on, man?
You
doing good to hear you, doing a great job
today, bro. You know what I mean? A great job. I see you like to hear yourself talk. Hey, but look, man, because you hit all angles of this topic because you won't let nobody else talk, I'm going to have to agree with you on that, though. Like, but I think it is about the best matchup for our offense because, you know, both teams is going to do what they're going to do against our defense because both teams can run and both teams can pass. So it's going to be status quo as far as the defense goes. We give it up against everybody. But I say we had to go against the Rams, though, in saying that much because the Rams haven't seen us. You know, Tampa has seen us on offense. Yeah, I know it was Jaden's first game and this and that, but they still got a chance to play against us. The Rams haven't, so it'll still be somewhat unknown to them. You know what I mean? Going up against our offense and Jaden Day. So, and plus, it'll be on a faster track. You know what
playing
I mean?
Playing on turf.
So, I take our chances with our offense. And I think, quite frankly, Tampa Bay got a better defensive personnel than the Rams and a better defensive scheme and head coach with, you know, with our guy back there. You know what I mean? Our former safety, their head coach. You know what I mean? So, Todd Bowles. So, I'll take the Rams matchup if I had to choose between the two, man.
Real quick here, Paulie. We were discussing this earlier. I don't know if you were tapped in or not. And I know that you've been vocal about this on social media. Have you reached a point where maybe Chris Rodriguez should be eating into Brian Robinson's carries here?
Hey, man, I'm glad you asked me that because I wanted to say it, but I wanted to be coachable and just go with your directive. But I'm glad you asked me that, man. No, I mean, I think he does need to get more carries, but I like the formula they got with the both of them. Yeah. You know, I think McNichols need more carries also. But I like that formula where you got Robinson, you know, in there. They're similar backs. They like to lean on the defense. They're physical runners. So then you bring Chris Rodriguez in there, a fresh Rodriguez. I think that's why he does a lot of his good work in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But I do think that he needs to get more carries. But I wouldn't say so much to cut out Rodriguez. I'm just saying, you know, let's run a little bit more.
More of a 50-50
split. Because really you got Rodriguez, Robinson, McNichols, and Jaden Daniels. You got five runners with five different styles.
Now Eckler potentially. And now Eckler you'll have back here soon too. So.
Right. But I will say this about the running game, man. I think what they need to switch it up more and have more runs coming from up underneath center, man.
That's another
teams know when we in the shotgun, we're gonna run the ball.
For sure.
So let's get some runs from up underneath center, and with that comes passing formations from up underneath center and play action.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, Paul. Appreciate you as always, bro, man.
Happy New Year to the W, man. Happy New Year to all y'all, man. Love y'all,
man. For sure, man. Let's go to Steve in Luray. Who should Washington want to play in the wild card round, Tampa or the LA Rams? Steve!
Hello.
Hey, Steve. How you doing, brother?
How's it going? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
All right. I think we need to play Tampa Bay, and I got a whole fistful of reasons. First of all, I do not like going to the West Coast to play. You know, it's a long trip. I'd rather just straight down south.
So, Steve, let me cut you off real quick here. And this is someone tweeted this yesterday. I can't remember who, and I actually agreed with it. If they get matched up with the Rams, they're going straight from Dallas to L.A. I think they should go straight from Dallas to wherever, Sunday. I don't think they should come back to Ashburn. If you notice the games that they did this road trip bit, Arizona, they did it. They played well. It's another opportunity for your guys to bond, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that makes sense, too. Well, you took away my one reason. But the second reason is we owe Tampa Bay an ass whooping.
You damn right we do, Steve.
And I'll tell you something else. Tampa Bay is the best team in the worst South. They're the worst. And the only reason they won it, because Atlanta had a love affair with Kirk Cousins. Yeah. And I think L.A. has got more upside. L.A. has got a better quarterback than Tampa Bay. They got a whole heck of a lot better coach than Tampa Bay. And I think they had the potential to be the better team. Yeah. But I think either way, we can handle either one of them. But I'd much rather go down and smack me some Tampa Bay butt.
Can't wait. My brother, appreciate you as always, Steve. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, look, either matchup, I continue to say it's going to be difficult for Washington. I don't know if they'd be favored in either of those football games. I go back to, and this is probably the hill I'm going to die on all the way up until the wild card weekend. They got to go up against the defense. They should want to go up against the defense that they feel they can score the most points against. And because they've already seen Tampa defensively, I think that's the defense that you can get off against. Jared Verse is the type of pass rusher that can game wreck. I know he's only got 4.5 sacks. But from a pressure standpoint, I look at the Rams and go, wow, they've got a bevy of different dudes that really could game wreck in that front seven. I don't know. Either or, it's going to be a tough out. Both of those teams' rushing attacks are really damn good. You're going to have to stack the box. It also comes down to which receiving core do you feel more comfortable against a man coverage, the Rams or the Bucs? 1-800-636-1067. When the Commanders enter wild card weekend, who should they want to play? Tampa Bay Bucs or the LA Rams? Little's out in Bowie. What's going on, Little? Happy New Year, my man. Little.
Hey, big fella.
What's
happy New Year to
man?
You, man. Shout out to your producer.
Yes, sir.
Look, man, happy these callers calling in, man. Don't even realize where the hell this boy grew up at. You know, they want to send him to Tampa Bay where it rained damn near 65% this time of the year. You send him to SoFi, man, where you got an enclosed stadium. The boy got good climate. And guess what? This be the second time he played on AstroTurf. Come on, man.
That's very true.
That's why I say a lot of these callers, I think, now they sit down and just watch the TV, watch the game. Don't even realize the boy born and raised in California, man. He ain't had not one game in Cali the whole season. Send this kid home, man, so he can flourish. And then you'd be like Speedy Gonzalez on that goddamn AstroTurf.
Yeah.
God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Little. Appreciate you as always,
Happy New Year,
man.
That's crazy. Oh, Tampa Bay. Oh, let him go to Tampa Bay. Let him go to Philly. Send him home, man, where you feel comfortable. He already like that. His comfort zone is 0 to 1,000.
Yeah, for sure.
But the kid go back home, he really going to flourish, man. Because guess what? He got the cuzzos in the stands and everybody, man. High school players, high school ballers he played with. What the hell are these people talking about?
Yeah.
California's the first thing come out their mouth. Oh, I like to see them go home. I know that they got an enclosed stadium. The stadium going to close up. I don't care the hell who. I don't care how the weather is in California. They got that stadium that's going to close up.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, for sure.
Plus, this kid is like that on the turf, man.
Telling you.
A lot of these callers, man, I just be shaking my head. Serious, man. God bless you.
Appreciate you, Little. 1-800-636-1067. Tito, out in El Paso. Are you going to the game on Sunday?
No, man, but I've been listening to y'all. I'm a Georgetown student over there in D.C. right now. I'm visiting back home, but I like listening to y'all. I'm a Cowboys fan, sadly, but, I mean, I love what the Commanders have done this year, man. I used to go for Texas Tech, too, with Cliff Kingsbury, man, and the job that he's done, man. I mean, you know, I'm really happy to see what he's done for y'all over there. And Commanders, I'm just glad that they're representing the NFC East pretty great. But I like to think that the L.A. Rams will be the opponent for us this year.
Wow. Why do you say the Rams?
You know what? I don't know much about the Buccaneer rivalry. I know y'all played them back in the playoffs not too long ago. But something about the Rams, I don't know. Like, it's more of a gut feeling for me. Like, whenever the Cowboys play the Rams lately, we beat their butts pretty good. And, you know, the way I see it is, like, you're going to have to play really good teams in the playoffs to begin with. So, you know, with the wild card coming up, again, I could be very wrong, you know. You know, this is more of a gut feeling with the Rams, you know. They've been injury prone a couple times with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You never know how they're going to be as healthy as they can be. Defensively, they've been better, obviously. But, I mean, with Cliff Kingsbury, with the great mind that he's had, the defense, they just got Jonathan Allen back, you know. I mean,
you sound like a Burgundy and Gold fan, Tito. I got to let you know, brother. Happy New Year to you. But, wow, probably the most knowledgeable Cowboy fan on the Burgundy and Gold that we've heard from. Top of the 4 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. A lot more to get to here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant and Danny. It's the youngest of Charles and O. Willingham sitting in for G&D. We'll take you up to 6:45. When we come back, we will preview Ohio State and Oregon with our guy Bobby Carpenter, former Buckeye linebacker, former Dallas Cowboy. He joins us next.